if I did everything gay dudes requested on, via OnlyFans in the first month, I probably would have made 50 grand.
Like, grand. What? What did they request?
I got it. Oh, they're like, jerk off and like bust on your chest and shit like that. Like, it's fuck, it's wild.
Wait, and you said no?
Yeah, I got tattoos, man. Everybody would know it's me. Yeah, it's too recognizable.
What's up, everybody? We are back with your Sunday Scoop. I am your host, Kamari Love, and I am joined by my co-host, Rich.
What up?
And Lonnie.
Hey.
Lonnie's back. Week
Lonnie's
two.
Lonnie's back.
I made it.
Are you a regular?
I don't know yet.
You a regular, Lonnie?
We get in there.
We'll see.
We get in there. Okay. Don't blow it. Hold up.
Is this SAG?
Yeah.
That's right. Just got to make sure.
Yeah. Can you even be on this?
You're going to get the residuals. Like, don't even worry about it.
That's on camera.
Yes. You got the residuals, okay? As always, we are here live at the world famous Laugh Factory at Hollywood, California. And thank you guys for joining us.
At Chocolate Sundays.
At Chocolate Sundays, yes.
Comedy show.
Today on the show, we have Matt Rife. Woo-woo! What's up?
Chilling. How y'all doing?
Great.
Good.
Great. White people may confuse him with Ellen DeGeneres, but black people know y'all don't look alike.
Black people know we don't look alike?
They do. They don't. They do.
It's flattering.
He just dropped his debut comedy special, Only Friends, which is streaming now on YouTube. And we read that he made love to a few people to make that happen, but that's none of our business.
God, I wish. That made my job so much easier.
That's what I would think. He is no stranger to your TV screen. He's been on Wildin' Out, Bring the Funny, and most recently the new film on BET Plus, North of the 10.
Yeah, it's me and Tyler Perry. We run that network now. I'm the same level as Tyler Perry. 100%.
Gang, gang. And he is slowly becoming a Sunday Scoop regular. So glad to have you back.
Welcome back, man.
Glad to be here, man.
I love
this show. This show has been showing me love since, like, the beginning of my LA career.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Which was at 15? You just said?
I came to visit here at 17 is when Pookie gave me my first spot here. And then
from
I moved
where?
Here from Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah, I was coming out here just to visit, just to see LA for the first time. And then I moved out here at 17. And then this is like one of the first spots to like be regular.
So how long did you do comedy in Ohio before you came?
About a year and a half. Yeah, I started at 15 and I moved out here at like, I just turned 17.
That is cool. Were you able to do the same type of sets in Ohio as you could in LA, or did you have to change?
At the time, I only had one set.
Yeah.
So I just kind of had to do anything that I could think of. Yeah. I mean, I was never really like a kid comic. I never really talked about like how crazy school was or like my lunch was never made or anything like that. I feel like I always performed for 30 to 40 year olds. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I feel like my content was usually kind of generally for everybody.
Makes sense.
That was when you started pulling mills?
Yeah, I think so. I just seemed desperate and hungry. And they were like, oh, I can fix them.
I love that.
Yeah.
I was like, come here, baby. Yeah. Come here.
Did your parents come out with you? Because 17. So you just...
I graduated high school early and moved out here, stayed on a friend's couch for like, I think I was for a year was on the couch. My mom just came out to LA to visit for the first time the summer of 2020. During COVID, she came out. Yeah,
that's love.
I know, she had never come out here before. She was so unimpressed.
I was about to say, she's
so
like,
unimpressed.
What is this?
She doesn't care at all. She's so blue collar. We went to Hollywood Boulevard, and she was like, "Looks cooler on camera." Yeah, I know. People don't realize like LA is like a work city.
Yeah,
this isn't like a fun vacation hotspot. Mm-hmm. I don't think like there's no reason to live here if you're not working here.
Mm-hmm.
She came for like 5 days, and by day two, she was like, "What are we doing now?" I was like, "We've done everything, really."
Where'd you take her? Like, what was on the agenda?
I mean, all the touristy stuff. Griffith, Hollywood Boulevard, Santa Monica, Malibu, stuff like that.
Literally all the touristy
stuff.
You did
all that in 2 days?
Pretty much.
Did you take her to Roscoe's? Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles?
I didn't. I definitely should have. Damn.
That would have sealed it. She would have been like, this place all right.
Fuck.
Them waffles is crap.
I don't even think they have a Roscoe's in Ohio.
They definitely don't.
But we do have Waffle House. So.
I mean.
Convenience-wise.
I know. Like.
Yeah.
It's not quality of food competition, but convenience-wise, Waffle House is fucking smacking.
Yeah.
I feel like they got the same crack in the waffles. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty good.
Waffle House is for sure more ratchet than Roscoe's.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, people Waffle House fighting. Is dangerous.
No, literally.
Yeah, when you get done smacking the shit out of him, can you make my eggs? It's so cordial.
Over easy.
Don't the cooks, like, fight, too?
The cooks fight.
Anybody can
They
get
let
it.
You cook your own waffles at Waffle House sometimes.
No, they don't.
I've seen the videos on TikTok. Yeah, there's people that are like, oh, shit, the cooks ain't
here.
No,
you're actually lying, though.
No, deadass. I'll find it during
that
this podcast.
That is the most
rioting
thing I've heard.
That's amazing.
That has to be a health code violation.
Have you been in a Waffle House? All the counters and floors are just covered in like excess waffle and eggs everywhere. Yeah. It's fucking gross and delicious.
at like 3 in the morning. I heard it's only good at 3 in the morning. When you're drunk.
From like 10 p.m. to about 4 a.m. You don't want it for actual breakfast. But yeah drunk breakfast for sure.
Mm. No, and did you see there's a video that went viral where the cook showed like how they determine what the different dishes are and stuff. Did you see that?
No.
It's like they put like a jam in the top left, and that means like butter on toast, and then like
you hear
a
that
squirt
Joel?
Of
toast.
Something on the bottom right. A squirt on the bottom right means eggs over easy or something. It was like this weird system. They
how they write
that
on the pen pad?
But they don't write it. No, it's like how they give it to the chef.
This is at Waffle House across the nation.
Yeah, it's like a standard thing, but it was like way out stuff, nothing normal. Like it, none of it made sense on why they did
They've
it.
They've got this whole hidden language amongst themselves.
If you've worked at Waffle House, we want to know, please, what is this code?
Yeah, what kind of Freemason shit is going on behind the scenes
right,
of Waffle
hieroglyphics.
House?
Yeah,
that's
I don't
what
know.
It was like.
Yeah.
Fucking Da Vinci code to get some goddamn waffles. My God, okay. I'm impressed.
Anyway, so comedy since you were 15. That is crazy. Isaiah Kelly gets all the love for being a young comic, but you started like right around when he might have started at like 12 or 13.
I think he started at 12 or 13, but like it's his dad. His dad's a phenomenal comic and has been for a very long time. You know what I mean? If I had a dad, period, I would have loved some help as well.
That went deep.
We can unpack
I know. I've always wondered why I bought it with black people so much. It's just lack of parenting.
Oh my God. That's the commonality. That's the
Honestly, we're not mad.
I was like, is it tasting music, tasting food, art and culture? Nope, just parenting.
We don't know. Do you know your daddy?
I know my dad. I don't fuck with that nigga like that.
Really,
like,
give me your card. You're not even using it right.
Trash. Yeah. Like, I'm cool. I'm cool with him. You know what I mean?
Do you know your dad?
Yeah.
Closer to him?
No.
That's hot.
Not at all. He dipped very, very early. Appreciate that, honestly.
Dad issues?
No, truthfully. Like,
Happy Father's Day.
Let's save the episode.
Just a
touch. I think Lonnie knows
just
her father. Lonnie, you know your father, right?
I apologize. I know my father.
Of course you do. But you're dismissed.
A white privilege.
My mom, though, is how y'all feel about your dad. So. Yeah.
Okay, so relatable.
No. I do talk to her now, but she was out of my life like my entire childhood.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad raised me. Like what age range was she gone?
Like a zero, like born to like 30.
Did the music just get really loud?
So loud. I love hearing the whisper song come on when you talk about your mother issues.
Wait, you see that?
Hello, Mama. I wish you were here. Wish you was here. Wish you was in my life. Wish you was here. Wish you was in my life. Wish you was here.
Bars.
Wait till I meet my mom. Wait till I meet my mom.
That bitch.
I'm a... That... Ooh.
Continue. Sorry.
I'm sorry. You're sad family? What was it?
But no, she... We just got close recently in the last 10 years. She was...
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Does it make up for it?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. You're not forgiving and forgetting?
You're not letting go and letting God?
Yeah.
No, I have. I don't hold any grudges to her anymore.
That's okay. Good.
No.
Good, you smudged it over.
Gross. Anyway, this is about you, Matt. I don't know why we're... I was just trying to let y'all know that I also don't have two parents in my life. Okay.
That's how she stays at the table. She was like, wait.
Wait. Everything's not cool. The holidays are still awful. Got it.
Don't get it twisted. Okay, so tell us about how you got in comedy. As a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
I started at an open mic at the Columbus Funny Bone in Ohio. I was a huge fan of, like, Dave Chappelle and Dane Cook were, like, my main two influences when I was, like, 12, 13, I became a fan. And then when I was 15, I did like one talent show in my school, and I just loved it. Did stand up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up.
I've never seen a stand up comedian in a talent show.
In a school talent show? Yes. Well, I mean, mm-hmm. at the time it was that? Like, I did like two jokes that I read online, and I just did some crowd work, like roasting some shit about my school. I mean, it wasn't good, but like it was fun.
Yeah.
So when I was 15, I realized like what open mics were. I was like, oh, this is like the starting point. So I remember going to the Funny Bones website and being like, oh, it says 21 and up, like most comedy clubs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess I could just shoot them an email and see if they get back to me. So I was like, hey, I didn't know it says 21 and up. Like, I'm only 15. If I had like a mom or somebody to like come with me,
yeah,
could somebody come? And for some reason, he just said, yeah, sure. As long as you have somebody with you, it's fine. Which is crazy because most club owners would be like, nah, I'm not risking my liquor license. 15? Like, why would I do that?
That isn't like
most club owners would be like, what benefit does it have to let somebody start that young? You know what I mean? It only puts my club at risk. Mm. But I'm extremely thankful that he didn't say that. So then from there, I just kept going up every week. Wednesdays, my mom or my grandpa would drive me there, and I would do like 5 minutes. And then from there, I did my first ever guest spot for D.L. Hughley. Who I only knew from Soul Plane at the time. Bro, didn't even know what Kings Soul of Comedy Plane? Was.
Mm-hmm. He was in Soul Plane?
He was the bathroom attendant.
Yeah. Oh,
he's in God. It for like 3 minutes.
Honestly, when they go to have sex in the bathroom, he's just in the corner like, it's a cameo.
When he's like, come on, David, in that scene, when the guy's
he's talking
David.
To John Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He's in it for like 3 minutes, and that's all I knew him from. And I kept bringing it up when I was right. He's like, hey, man, you got to stop mentioning this whole play. And I was like,
oh, my God.
What the fuck is going on back there? What was that?
Is that a person? Did someone just fall through?
Is Will Smith here? What the fuck is going on right now?
That was aggressive energy. Are they good?
Okay. Jesus Christ.
D.L. Hughley.
D.L. Hughley. Stop talking about that.
Yeah. So I did the shows for him. He asked me to stay all weekend. I did. And then from there, he and I just went back and forth on Twitter for a while. From that, a manager out of Atlanta kind of took me under his wing. I moved down to Atlanta the summer between my junior and senior year. Was working at his club like 9 to 11 shows a week. I was just on every show.
Of high school?
Man.
Yeah. This was like the summer between my junior and senior year.
That's crazy.
And the confidence you have to just take that on knowing.
Well, when you're from Ohio, like, what do you have to lose? You know what I mean? You're like, anything to get the fuck out of here. It's fun. I stayed on. So I was going to stay out. A young comic, his and his girlfriend were going to let me stay on his couch. And he got arrested my third day there. And I'm supposed to stay there for like 2.5 months.
Matt got the full black experience.
Bro.
All right.
His girlfriend let me stay the entire summer on the couch. I just crashed there. I was doing shows, passing out tickets and stuff during the daytime.
Yeah.
And then came back to Ohio, graduated high school early, moved out to LA, and then just started doing the rounds here at the clubs and stuff.
Did you write him like a thank you note to jail? Like, hey, bro, thanks for letting me crash this summer.
But I didn't sleep with his girlfriend, so...
Honestly,
that's kind of an underrated thing.
That was my next question. I was wondering too. That's the equivalent.
Did she try to throw it at you?
I don't think so. I was also like a boy, like a child.
What is this?
At 15, like I still feel like 19, 20. So at the time I was 15, I probably came across like 12 or 13.
Got you.
But it was a life changing summer, man. It was a great time. Yeah. So that was kind of like the beginning process of it, and then moved out here and. Beginning of January 2013.
Who was helping you structure your jokes and like your writing?
Nobody really. I mean, all you really can do as an up and coming comic is just watch other comics. Mm-hmm. And obviously you don't steal their shit, but you can of course you're gonna base things off of your idols and the people you watch and love to watch the most, because they share probably the same sense of humor that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just studying formats, writing, timing, stage presence, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it just has to be you. Which takes years and years to just be able to do, which is crazy. It takes years to develop just being you on stage. Mm-hmm. And that probably hit me, like, I'd say, like, 3 years ago. I'd say, like, I finally, like, I understand my voice on stage. I know how to write now for myself. It just takes time.
Yeah.
But, there was nobody, like, directly helping. I never had anybody, like, really help me structure a set or anything. Wow. Anybody who's tried, I've been like, that just doesn't feel right, you know?
What do you mean, like, your voice now? So what is it? What do you think you figured out about yourself?
It's so hard.
Who are you, Matt? Right.
It's a very deep description. I don't really know how to put it in words. It's just a comfortability and a tone. And I think it comes from, like, the best way I can kind of use it as an analogy is, like, you ever be, like, repeating a story that happened to you that was hilarious to your friends? exactly how you would tell it to your friends is how I like to talk on stage, mm-hmm. which is just so loose and so free and just myself. And that's probably a very confusing description, but no, it's like, the best I can describe it. I want the show to feel intimate. I want the people to feel like they're my homies. We're just hanging out like in the living room or something. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I see your clips on social, mm-hmm. like I be in his DMs all the time, like, bro, crowd work on 100, killing it. Da, da, da. But it's so true because I feel like not a lot of comedians that are coming up, they're comfortable going off script.
Definitely.
And I feel like when I watch you live, it's like you have your structure, you have your set, but you're also very, very comfortable just being like to the audience and doing that crowd work. And that takes so much confidence, man. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, man. You know, it's funny. I was actually telling somebody the other day because they were talking about like feeling stiff in your set. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't understand comedy that you do a set. You predominantly do the same jokes over and over again night after night, improving them and adding and subtracting stuff to them, obviously.
Yeah.
But for me personally, if I'm doing an hour-long show, I love to do like 10 to 15 minutes of crowd work. It's fun for me. It mixes things up. And I put it right in the middle of my set. So for me personally, I feel the most comfortable once I started doing crowd work. The second half of my set is always better than the first half to me. And mm-hmm. the first half is like, it's great jokes. They're well written out, structured things that I'm like, I know these work the show out, but like I have the most fun once I start doing crowd work. Mm-hmm. You just never know what's gonna happen, you know?
Yeah. No, and the crowd. Oh, I just heard the sound go out.
It's been doing that a little bit, but I think it's okay.
The crowd likes that. I think that's why the second part of your set's probably better, because I think they know that you're off the cuff, and I think they appreciate and respect you as a comedian. Because
it's a risk.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's definitely
because
a risk.
I've noticed a lot of comedians can't do it. They're two very different. It's like a freestyle rapper versus like someone who just, you know, has their set written. Like, not a lot of comedians do it well.
Yeah, but you have to pick and choose your moments, obviously. Like, the main rule in comedy, like, timing is so important. Like, you don't want, might not want to start your show out with crowd work, 'cause if it doesn't hit, then people, now they're already weary. And you might not want to do it at the very end of your set because maybe you've had a killer set and then you get nothing for the crowd work. Now you have to end the show on kind of nothing. So the middle is kind of the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I used to open for a lot of comics who would do like 2-hour shows. Like Joe Coy used to do like 2-hour shows. Ralphie May used to do like 3-hour shows. Now Ralphie was an anomaly and could pull it off. He could do a full 3-hour show of crowd work and everybody would be loving it. But whenever I watch Joe.
I don't think I've seen who?
Ralphie May?
I don't think I've seen Ralphie May.
He's dead now.
Okay.
Big dude.
Hands down, top 5 comedians of all time. Fucking genius. One of the greatest guys I ever knew.
Write that on my list.
He's got so many specials on Netflix, if they're still up there.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Ralphie May.
Okay. But whenever I would watch Joe Coy, one of the things I took away was he was really good at crowd work. Really, really good at it. But he would do it like after an hour-long show, and he would do like 45 minutes of crowd work. And by that time, after an hour-long show, if you're not murdering, the crowd's a little bit tired.
Yeah.
A little bit. So if you're only talking to the people in the front row, not only is the crowd already a little bit exhausted, but the people in the back,
they're annoyed.
Can't see what's happening. Yeah. For more than a couple minutes, after that long of a show, you can't do crowd work for too long because then they have no idea what's going on. So I remember I would be in the back of the show, sold out room, the people in the back being like, okay, like I don't know what he's talking about up there. Everybody's loving it, but I have no clue what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's a lot to be learned about it for sure, but I love it. It's one of the most fun parts.
Yeah, being so young and being able to do it, that's tough to be so confident and so young. That's really rare.
That really
well, I really didn't
me.
Realize how young you were.
Well, that's the other thing. Confidence is another good point of it. That's also why I love doing it in like the middle of the show, because by then you've gained some trust. Mm-hmm. Like they know you're funny now.
Yeah.
And that's obviously so important.
That's like, you got to win them over.
Oh, absolutely. Once you have fans and people are coming out to a show, they pay money to see you specifically. Your job's a lot easier because they already think you're funny. Mm-hmm. They already want to laugh at everything you say. And I'm just now at that point in my career where I am starting to sell out shows and people are coming out to me. And it's so different, man. It's so I love it. It's what I've always wanted. And it's what I want to have for the rest of my life. But like, there's a little bit of pressure. And I kind of miss having to prove myself. Mm. I mean, I still have to, obviously. You still have to be good. You have to
but
meet their expectations.
But it's a different hunger.
100%. Mm. Absolutely. Like, going into a crowd full of people who have no idea who you are, don't even want to like you, and making them laugh just feels a little bit more rewarding.
Yeah.
Is it like that getting women, too? Is it
no,
easier now?
No,
do you miss the chase?
No, I don't miss the chase at all. Please, no more chases. Please, for the love of God.
You said I'm done with the character.
If you
want to
smash, do it. Just say that.
What's your handle right here to the camera?
At Matt Rife. At MATTRIFE.
Hashtag just say it.
Hashtag just say it.
Wait, so you're single?
I am single.
Okay.
As fuck.
Do people think you come off as a fuckboy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you talk about yeah. it.
You definitely
right?
have that.
In my last special, I did. Yeah.
To clarify, you are or you aren't?
I'm retired.
Okay.
I'm reformed.
How many years retired?
How many months?
I'd say like said 3 days. I'm like 2 years retired.
He said I'm on a cleanse right now.
A 3 day.
It's Passover, so I mean, I'll make my rounds back. No, I had a lot of fun when I was younger.
25.
You're 26.
No, be honest. I didn't
back in my day.
No, he was in the clubs at 15, though.
No, you did.
I didn't even lose. I didn't lose my virginity till my first girlfriend when I was 17, 4 months before I moved to LA. So when I moved to LA, I also was not a cute kid. Cute in the sense that like a little kid is cute, but not in like a, I want to fuck you kind of way.
I seen you on Wildin' Out like the early days. You had like a little glow up situation.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, bro.
So when that kicked off, rightfully so, I capitalized. I was making up on all this lost time. So it's like, was I a fuck boy? Yeah, for sure. But like in a designed period of time.
Yeah.
Now I'm that's okay.
Other than that, I'm much more of a relationship guy. I would okay. love to be in a relationship for years.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
For years.
Not like the rest of your
Realistically, I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe lease it out, maybe 4 or 5 years.
No, lease to own.
Then renegotiate.
But
the
watch
contract.
The miles, though. Watch the miles.
Watch the miles. You know, the older models tend to be more reliable.
They do. They are. They're better made.
That's for sure.
Older models are better made.
They don't make them like they used to.
They sure don't.
They can't roost it like they used to either.
So what is a fuckboy? What is the definition?
It's just a slutty man, basically. Somebody who kind of, I guess you could say, this is such a destructive word. Manipulate, I guess.
I was going to say, manipulate is the first.
But manipulative sounds so evil, but it's not always, it's not ill intentioned. You want to fuck. You just want to sleep with people. And I don't think that's wrong. It's animalistic.
I think you just learn the lingo.
I think
you just
that's know the difference between
us. Totally.
That's what makes you a fuckboy is when it's intentional.
I think so,
I think
too,
it's
actually.
The choice to manipulate.
Right. I think so,
that's
too.
What makes you a
fuckboy. And
great
if that's the case,
boy.
I've never been a fuckboy. I've never had to manipulate anybody.
Okay, just your shoulders off.
If a girl wanted to sleep with me, we made it happen. Now, were we going to date after that? No. But I've always been open and honest about that.
Mm. Oh, yeah, then you're not a fuckboy. I think a fuckboy is like you lie about things to multiple women.
I can see how that could have been, how it can come across that sometimes. Like, sometimes a girl or a guy, for either circumstance, can assume you're more into them than you really are, when really you're like, okay, that's all I really want. But it comes down to communication. If you haven't expressed your intentions with one another, how can you really know? So, I mean, I always have no problem telling a girl, like, if we're about to have sex or something and it's like a very one-off situation, I have no problem being like, hey, just so you know, like,
Before you put it in, you just be like, hey, no, usually, I'm not going to call you tomorrow.
Usually like right before I bust, I'm like, this means nothing. And then I'm like,
that's about right. That's the right
homies.
That's the right timing.
Absolutely. Because like, the right timing. What are we going to do? End it? You know what I mean? No.
No.
Yo, what?
The streets is raggedy. Like, what?
The streets.
No, but what's crazy is... Women especially respect honesty.
No, we really do. Honestly, just
a woman
say what
is
it
more
is.
Likely to give you attention if you're
really
like
handle
boldly.
It's true.
On the truth or honesty, aversion.
It depends on what the truth is about. Intentions
and depends on the person.
Intentions and the person. I think they really appreciate the honesty. I've definitely been with a girl who I've been open and honest with, and she's been like, well, I don't want to do that, but you were so honest about it, I feel like I need to suck your dick. And you're like, well, the truth will set you free. So,
won't he do it?
Won't he do it every time.
So yeah, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was never like an evil fuckboy or anything. I was just a young guy who finally got a jawline and was trying to capitalize it. That's all.
That's all it takes sometimes.
Yeah, I would never like, I could happily, like when the Me Too shit was going on, I was like, I don't ever have to worry about anything. I don't feel like I ever disrespected a woman. Ever.
That's important.
Or made her feel uncomfortable.
No, you ride a really good line. Like, I've always told you, you know you're attractive, but you don't come off as super arrogant. You talk about yourself on stage. I feel like people know you look good, but you don't seem conceited. So I think that's why you come across really well on stage.
Yeah, you mask it really well, Matt.
Thank you. basket. No, it's like, it's always a conception that people go,
they don't care at all.
Are we at the movies right now?
No, basically.
We're at the Magic Johnson Theater.
Kill
That's what
nobody.
This feels like.
Matt, you got three more black jokes before you're canceled.
I didn't think anybody heard it.
I heard
at the Magic Johnson Theater. God damn.
You get unlimited black jokes, but you get three more.
Three more? Okay, that's plenty.
We're talking about masking your arrogance.
Masking your arrogance. Okay, so a lot of people will like assume like exactly what you just said. Like, you know you're good looking.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. I genuinely don't. My entire high school experience was like never getting girls. I was never the good looking guy ever. So like, even when I look in the mirror now, I go, that's like, it's fine. It's like, your body could be better. This could be better. This could be better. Whatever. But I understand that other people think I'm good looking. I acknowledge that that's what they think. I don't think of myself like that at all. Like, for me, if you put me up against like dudes who are actually fucking good, look at like young Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, Timothée Chalamet, like really fucking good looking guys, mm-hmm. or Justin Bieber. It's like, I don't actually look like those guys. I think I look good for a comedian.
But do people think Justin Bieber looks good like that?
Really? No, I think he's such a good-looking guy.
No, he's like swaggy and he's cute.
I think he's Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think it's like the name more than anything.
Shawn Mendes, good-looking guy.
I'm so fucking old.
I don't even know.
Can you use references? I know.
Who's Shawn
Mendes? Vanilla Ice.
Like Brad Pitt.
There you go. Brad Pitt. Perfect example.
Is Brad Pitt considered? Like generically across the board.
Yes. Or the guy that plays Thor,
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, so it's like next to those guys, I don't fucking look good. But it's like next to fucking, I don't need to say names. A lot of comedians.
We've got to list all the ugly fucking comedians.
We don't have enough time. Next to Pete Davidson, yeah, I would say so. I would definitely say so. But it's like, that's also not a thing that works for your favor in comedy. Nobody wants to laugh at somebody who looks good.
I know, that's a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is really a thing.
Wow, I never considered that.
Yeah. So literally, like I talk about this
a lot. Yeah. I mean, men too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, we went through this period. Well, Eddie Murphy, his era, Eddie made it sexy. Like, women wanted to fuck Eddie. Mm-hmm. But then it became this whole thing where, yeah, you can't be attractive. People won't laugh. And it was just these, like, nerdy, quirky, alt comics. Yeah, and it's like, why can't comedians be sexy? Kevin Hart really is the first one that brought us back.
Yeah, it's just not.
Chris Rock, I mean, Cat Williams, I don't think anyone would say was sexy. He was like, you know, pimp whole thing, but Kevin was really the first one recently that made it back like cool and sexy.
Yeah, it's just a psychological thing. You go like, oh, this person's good looking, they don't have as many problems as I do in life. And that's not true. It's like more money, more problems.
Like more
beauty, more beauty, more problems.
More beauty, more problems. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely true. I still go through that.
No.
You think I want?
Wait. Let's just take a moment.
No, it's not.
You think I? Wait.
Did you just hear what Kamar said? Kamar said, "Yeah, I know that life."
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
We go through stuff too, man. Okay?
No.
It is hard here too, okay?
Sorry, these above average looking people over here. What are we?
Yeah, fucking BLM, man. Beautiful Lives Matter,
come
okay?
Come on.
My God.
Where's your boss?
We go through shit. We suffer just like y'all, okay?
I'm sure you do.
It's hard.
You think I want to have sex with all these women? No. I have other things to do.
You think I want free Chipotle?
No. Your dick is tired.
No. My dick is tired.
Pretty privilege.
That's also a real thing. That's why when women talk a lot about like how unfairly they are treated, that's not in LA. That is so not the case. Women have such an upper hand in LA. Every hot girl I know in LA is just a hot girl in LA. They don't do anything else.
Woo.
They make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everything is paid for. They just get to live the most extravagant lifestyle. For absolutely nothing, just for being a hot girl. The gap is closing. They're either just a hot girl or they produce comedy shows. It's just it's one or the other.
That's the range.
Yep.
That's it.
No other options.
None.
Dang.
What, should I be insulted?
No, it was a compliment.
You saw me look away. I said, I said, well, I'm going to let
it. It was a compliment.
He said, you can't be both hot and produce comedy.
No, that's not what I said. You misinterpreted.
And I produce comedy shows.
I said, you're either just a hot girl or you produce comedy shows. Hot girls
that
do
means
one
you're doing something with it. Yeah. That was a compliment.
Means you're attractive.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you know any girls that live that life?
That just sit around, be pretty, and don't do shit?
Yeah.
Too many.
Yeah.
I'm not cool with them because I can't do that. Like,
you can't do what?
I can't.
They have no personality.
Yeah, I can't really be friends with people who don't know how to hustle, who don't know how to work. Like, I'm a hustler, and you're just gonna drive me fucking nuts. Like, I can't.
Because it's like, what do you talk about?
Exactly.
Because me and my good friends, I like talking about business and work and things surrounding careers and stuff.
Thank God.
It's money.
Yeah. So what do you talk about? Yeah. I guess you can talk about going out and
you want to grow with somebody.
Yeah.
You
know what
I mean? Like, if I'm out hustling all day and all you're doing is sitting home sending feet pics. Or whatever. It's like, what do we have in common?
Or complaining about what your sugar daddy did and didn't do and how he didn't give you $10,000. I'm like, I gotta exit.
Absolutely.
Immediately.
Yeah. No, there's so many red flags with that girl's in LA.
I'm glad everyone at this table has integrity. I'm glad.
No, I can't.
If I go to a girl's Instagram, she has a picture of her at Catch. I'm like, nope.
Can't do it.
Absolutely not.
Can't do it.
Nope.
This is a weird question.
I like Catch.
This is a weird question.
I bet you do.
No, me and my man went to Catch a couple weeks ago. I like Catch. Their food is actually really good.
I'm gonna take your mom there. 100%. 100%.
Good luck finding her.
Boom!
Wow.
If
my mom is very much in my life and she's a good mother now. Yes. So let me
shout out Lonnie's mom.
She said, "Sorry, mom, I'm gonna ruin that back."
This is a very strange question, but if you were a woman, would you be a sugar baby?
I could see it.
I want to say yes, but I know the answer is no because I get hit up by gay dudes who offer me that lifestyle all the time, and I'm like, can't do it.
I can see that too.
Can't do it.
Damn.
So it's like, as much as I would love to cash in on that opportunity.
What's the offer?
There's just the line.
Yeah, what is it? Give us an example. What's the headline?
Let's just say when I dropped my special a couple months later, I did start an OnlyFans, but it's like, it's just comedy and shirtless pictures that are like already kind of out there. Like, you can see me shirtless on Instagram. Okay. You know, it's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
If I made a good amount of money for that, if I did everything gay dudes requested via OnlyFans in the first month, I probably would have made 50 grand.
50 like grand. What? What did they request?
What?
I got it.
You don't even have to.
They want to suck your toes. I feel like.
Oh, that's
no, minimum, no. Like surface level.
He's talking about.
That's PG stuff.
He's talking about just on OnlyFans. Like, you don't even have to meet up with them.
No, that's just OnlyFans.
Yeah,
no, there's definitely dudes like in real life who are like, yeah.
I know, but what were the requests on OnlyFans?
Oh, they're like jerk off and like bust on your chest and shit like that. Like it's wild.
Wait, and you said no?
Yeah, I got tattoos, man. Everybody would know it's me. Yeah, it's too recognizable.
But wait, is it gay or are you just doing it by yourself?
Well, here, don't get me wrong. I spent a lot of time contemplating this. I've spent a lot of time.
There's strictly
just
no judgment
at my
there.
Dick being like,
you're
are
not,
we doing this?
It's not like you're doing it with the
but
like,
I'm doing it for free every night.
But anyway, I want a wife and kids. Someday I don't want that to get leaked. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They do a pretty good job of like taking shit down because everything you post on OnlyFans gets watermarked. So like they do a pretty good job of like taking shit down, and they have a huge legal team and all that kind of stuff, but it still doesn't stop people. And I'm like, I just don't want to be Kim Kardashian in fucking 15 years when I have a kid and they're like, oh, I can see my, I can pull up your dad's dick anytime I want. You know what I mean? Like,
mortified.
I would like a wholesome future. That's I would like to be a respected entertainer. That's so good.
Integrity or whatever.
Yeah, that's like, bro. When Kim Kardashian like a couple months ago was like crying her eyes out that her kids got somebody like finally brought up to her kids like her sex tape or whatever. I was like, yeah. You didn't think about that? Of course. And who the fuck feels bad for you?
Yeah.
The life that you're living. You know, I just don't want to be in that situation.
I thought sometimes, I was like, huh. Because I know how to use cameras and produce and all that stuff. And it's like, I feel like I'm using my powers for good right now.
For now.
Oh, my God.
Right? But I always was like, when I saw when Blacked came out.
Oh,
you know what Blacked is?
Yeah. Yes, I'm aware of
what
Blacked is.
Oh,
you didn't hear about all those girls getting canceled over doing Blacked face?
Oh. Okay. No, I thought that was something else. Wait, what? No.
She didn't get it.
I'm like.
All right, so.
I missed that. I'm
so,
lost.
All right, so Blackface is when a person does, you know, black makeup on their face.
Uh-huh. What
Blacked. blacked is in it's predominantly usually white women, right?
It's like interracial porn,
but like the biggest black dudes you've ever seen.
And the production quality
phenomenal
is so phenomenal. Good.
It's that's short why you film watch it? Work.
Not y'all absolutely. Knowing. Okay, what's your favorite episode though? Because what?
I don't have one.
I don't have a favorite
episode.
Does
it have like plots? Like a story?
It's not
line?
Necessarily.
No,
the
but they
plot.
Do like a little setup or something do. In the beginning, don't they?
She'll be looking in the mirror and she'll be like. Yeah, you know, I just was really thinking about Jason coming over someday.
Yeah.
And, like, they do her inner thoughts and, like, whoa, porn.
Or it'll be, like, her in the bathroom. She's, like, on a phone, yeah. on an angry phone call. She's like, oh, I just hate having a white boyfriend with a little dick.
Oh,
it's always
God.
On, like, some cuck shit a little bit.
And that's that bullshit that make bitches be like, I'm an actress.
Oh, absolutely. These no. bitches don't know their lines at all. There's definitely not a rehearsal.
And then they cut. But then I think really... Matt, what Blacked is doing for the porn community, I really feel like it's elevating the narrative because the scenes that they're in these mansions.
This is true.
And they're in these like luxury high rises, you know what I mean? And it's like visuals are everything. So when you see a successful black man taking down a white girl in a mansion, it's like, wow, he's doing good. Black people are doing better for themselves.
From a white perspective, it also increases racism by like 300%. He's in a mansion too! Oh my God! I can definitely see the most racist piece of shit in the South just
still
hate,
still
but
off
still
off.
Loving it. Absolutely.
I hate it, but I love it at the same time! Ah! Bust.
So many pros and cons. So
oh
many pros gosh. And cons. But
oh
it's it's a phenomenal production. You guys should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll add that to the list.
But anyway, in my evil life, I feel like I was the guy who started Black.
The camera guy?
I think I'd be like the production, like the guy. Like I would have started the fucking.
Okay, here's an even weirder
okay,
question.
I'm down. Match me.
Do you know a guy, a homie, that you would be like, you should star in the first episode? Like, do you know any of your homies that are just like, hung?
Oh, I wasn't going there, but...
I was curious. Like, are you the whole production?
No,
like, are you cast?
No,
do you know who you would cast?
I feel like I have an idea of who I would
Damn.
Cast.
Interesting.
Do you guys know, like, your friends' sizes?
I do. Yeah,
I don't.
My friend groups definitely do.
Do you guys really? Compare? Or is it just like a...
No, it has to happen organically.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, for me, I was at a party one time, and I was, like, chatting with this girl by the pool. We were talking about dicks or whatever, and I was like, well, here's a picture, basically. And she was like, oh, that's great. And my friend came over, Jackson, very funny comedian, Jackson McQueen, comes over. He's, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. He has a stutter. What are we doing over here? We're talking about dicks? Nice, man. Congratulations. Here's mine. And I was like, man, give me my fucking phone back.
With a name like Jackson McQueen.
You know, it's,
That's a porn
that's a
star
porn
name.
Name.
That's a porn
that
name.
That dick is ruining souls, bro. It's insanity. I wish I never knew. I wish I never fucking
those
knew.
I feel like at that point, just though. Congratulate each other. Like, huh?
Those are
my
pictures.
Man.
Can you tell
Yeah,
pictures?
But.
I need a comparison up to something.
Oh, definitely your arm. 100%. Definitely.
I feel like that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah.
That's too much dick.
But like, that's always a constant conversation because dudes would rather be too big than just right, I feel like.
Yeah.
If a girl tells you, oh, you have like the perfect penis, you're like, I'd like to hurt you a little.
I understand.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even hurt that much.
Yeah, you'd be like, got
it. So back to comedy.
Yeah, we can edit all that out.
Yeah, that was a tangent. Yeah. I don't know how we got there.
Let's not tag Jackson.
Matt, I need to know why you're...
Huh? What'd you say, Lonnie? I couldn't hear you.
Why are you 26 years old with a Hotmail email address?
Why am I 26 years old with a Hotmail address? Because it's like a phone number. Everybody has that one. I don't want to switch over. I have other email addresses, but I never use them.
You have a Gmail?
I have one, but I never use it.
Uh-huh. You have to get rid of that.
Maybe we should start. It's like
today's
AOL.
The day. Day
Welcome
one.
To late 20s.
Why?
AOL.
What's wrong with Hotmail? It's up and running.
People judge you. People judge you, Matt.
They do.
People judge you.
I don't think they have any right to. No. You have a Gmail?
Yes.
All right. Fucking flex on me. All right. That's fine. I don't see any problem with it. It's like I said, it's just like a phone number. Everyone has my Hotmail. So I just don't feel like going through the whole rigmarole of being like, nah, this isn't my email anymore. I don't even know how to step it up. Like an automated response, I guess.
Oh, I don't see.
Just now a whole process.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, I've upgraded my life. I now have a Gmail.
And now have a Yahoo.
Yeah, definitely. New upgraded email.
What was the chat? The MSN Messenger? Was that the other thing? Was that on Hotmail?
Or AOL?
Yeah. AOL.
I think it was AOL. No, it was AOL Messenger. Yes. And but there was the MSN Messenger too.
Was that through Hotmail?
Yeah.
I think that's why I kept it.
Uh-huh.
Because in middle school, that's how I had all my game. Yep. Just MSN Messenger.
Not broke, don't fix it, you know?
Yeah. It's got me this far.
I would rush home. We would all rush home from school and get straight on the computer to get on Messenger.
Yep. God, isn't that crazy?
What was your username? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Mine was TheBabyFace27.
Da Babyface
27. Yes. What was yours?
Rapster 1232, because my parents they swore I was going to get taken if I had a girl name. So I just had to make it sound like a nigga.
Okay.
That's smart.
All right.
What was yours?
I don't remember at all.
Damn.
God, time moves so fast.
It really does.
Technology especially. Remember when you used to have to go over to your friend's house? Like, you just have to, like, ride your bike, like, miles to even see if your friend was home?
Yes.
And if they weren't home, you were like, oh, I rode on this fucking bike.
Yeah. Literally.
Back home.
Okay, extra workout.
I feel like you should have bypassed all that.
I was literally the last generation that had it.
Wow.
My younger sister's like 3 years younger than me. Four years younger than me. She had a cell phone. The computer was her whole life and everything. I was the last. Somebody 1 year younger than me had a completely different life than I did.
Wow.
Very, very weird.
It's good thing you got that.
I'm so happy I had that. Oh, my God. The playing outside was so fucking important.
Good old days.
I still love getting away from it. Like, anytime I get a chance to go on vacation, it's always somewhere outdoorsy where I don't want to be on my phone at all.
It's great.
Because so much of our job now is consumed. Just on the phone. I'd say 80% of my job is on the internet.
Yes. I know.
Being on stage is the easiest, most fun part of my job. It's everything. It's promoting. It's editing clips, producing everything. Camera, learning how to work a camera. Learning how to edit on Premiere Pro. It's fucking exhausting.
That's your release.
Yes, absolutely. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. It's fucking endless.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all kids do. It's so depressing.
I can't. I know. I honestly can't imagine.
My kids are going to hate me because I'm not going to let them
No, you're going to be outside.
I'm going to force them to do regular shit.
1,000%.
And by that time, it's going to be so normal
for
people to just have their whole lives in their phone. But if you want to have any integrity as a human being, you have to experience.
So you're gonna we're gonna live inside the metaverse.
I won't do it.
You're not gonna be on your phone because you're gonna be living inside your phone.
I refuse to do it.
Well, wait. What if we're already there, guys? We don't even know.
Yeah.
What if this is real?
Whole simulation. This game fucking sucks, dog. Oh my God. I know some definite glitches that could be fixed.
For sure.
It's like, damn, Jackson got the glitch.
I know, God damn. Well, you glitched up. Oh my God.
All right. So I have a question real quick.
Okay.
So do you, like, when you do big shows or, you know, like, quote unquote, black rooms, do you get respect from other comics? Or do you feel like they look at you a certain way, seeing a young white guy?
I think it's a respect thing. I kind of got lucky with starting young because, like, nobody's really going to boo a kid. So it's like, I feel like I always got, like, the benefit of the doubt of being, like, regardless of how well he does, he's a kid. It's fine. Like, I think once I hit, like, 25, people were like, okay, now you actually have to kind of be funny and you actually have to do some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, I was already doing it so long, I feel like I was ready to kind of show out whenever.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like it's a respect thing. I've always gotten so much love and respect from black crowds and black shows and black comedians. I would accredit 98% of my career success to black people. I mean, they gave me the most stage time. They always gave me the most love. They always put money in my pocket. Like, white shows never booked me as a kid, ever.
Wow.
And what I love about black audiences is that you do have to impress them. Like, there's no middle ground. Black people either love you or hate you. Mm-hmm. But once you feel that love from, like, a packed black show, it's fucking it's incomparable. It's so much fucking fun. The energy is just absolutely amazing.
I think that's, like, low key. I feel like it's a superpower of yours because there's not a lot of white comedians that can do that.
Facts.
You get what I'm saying? Like, crossing over. I feel like a lot of white comedians stay in a lot of white rooms, and they're funny in white rooms. But
go ahead. Sorry.
But if you tried to migrate that same comedian into a Chocolate Sundae's room, I don't think they would be able to
totally
hang.
Different. That's like one of the few things that I'd like humbly say that I'm proud of myself for doing is when I was younger, doing mostly black rooms, people would be like, "Oh, you're gonna be like the next Gary Owen." And I love Gary Owen. He's fucking hilarious and a great guy, but I was like, that's not the career I want to have. So now, like, the thing I'm most proud of my material and my writing now is, like, the exact same jokes I did on this show, I'll do in fucking Boise, Idaho for all white people, and it'll give the exact same response.
No, that is because a lot of white comedians come to black rooms, like Chocolate Sundays, and they start pandering to black people, and it gets really uncomfortable.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But, like, black people can just tell when you're being disingenuous. Mm-hmm. They can tell when you're trying to impress somebody.
Yeah.
It's so fucking corny.
Yeah. It's really corny.
But I feel that way about most, like, woke people. Like, people who are white people who are overly woke, I'm like, I don't believe you. Just be a normal fucking person. Mm-hmm. It's so exhausting to watch you, like, try to get black people to like you.
Right.
If you're just you, they'll probably like you. Maybe not. Maybe not. But if you're pandering, they're definitely not going to like you. Yeah.
There's a fine line.
It's annoying.
So we are running out of time, but we do have some kind of questions that we always ask all the comedians. We want to just kind of, like, hit these. So we'll cut here. Keep recording, but, like, this will be just, like, a cut, and we'll just stitch this all together in the episode. But so we're just going to hit it. Just kind of, like, quick, funny bits, and this is more for, like, social. Okay? Okay.
Sure is quiet up here.
Sure is. They can't see any of the lights, none of that. Okay. So... Okay. So... I feel like there's two types of people in the world. There's people that cut their food before they eat, and then people that cut as they go.
Cut as they go.
Who are you?
Definitely cut as you go.
You're a cut as you go?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you don't like to plan your life out at all?
No, I don't know how big of a bite I'm going to want in the next moment. You know what I mean? Oh, that was a big one. Now I didn't chew a little bit, maybe savor this one a little bit long. But yeah, you never know. And sometimes I want different bites of different stuff. Yeah, okay. I can't plan out my meal. Are you one of those people who can't have, like, their foods touch?
Yes.
Really?
That used to be me.
What are you, five?
That used to be me. I recently now have, you know, I lift the foods, but I do like the separation. I don't like
juices.
Yeah, like juices.
That's different.
Like,
greens
specifically. They have to be like by greens themselves. Juice
in the mashed potatoes.
Mac and cheese and all that. Yeah.
But, like, if mac and cheese is touching the, I don't know, steak or chicken or whatever it may be, does that bother you?
Mac and cheese, the consistency of mac and cheese is a little thicker.
So I think
right?
the conversation is more about the consistency than like food in general touching other food, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
We can all agree
on that. So you can't make like a bowl, like a with rice and
like a
pollo
bowl?
Like
a pollo bowl?
Any type of bowl.
It depends on the ingredients, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I can do a pollo bowl, but I mean if I...
That's a good question because bowls, everything touches.
It's just together.
But it's just the ingredient, it's the idea of it. I mean, a taco or a burrito is all shit touching each other. Yeah. So I guess it's just...
But it's the presentation. Like, if I have a plate and I have steak and mashed potatoes and mac and cheese, put that shit separate.
Was also the
and then I'm
going
to cut out my steak before
I
eat.
So you cut your whole steak into pieces before you eat it?
I might be a little psychotic, yeah.
But I understand that, too, because you just want to go. You know, like, I don't want to have to... Like, I just want to take one moment and just barrel
through. Now that I think, okay, maybe it's... So French toast, for sure. I will cut all the French toast before because I don't want
to... You're not trying to
grease. Cut and eat. I just want to... Get out the way, and then I can eat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Now that you break it down more and more, I kind of want to do that.
Yeah.
Is my life about to be changed?
I think so.
You're welcome.
Chocolate Sundays.
More appropriating black culture. Way to go, Matt. Good job.
You're doing great.
You're welcome. Okay. That's one random question. The $100 question?
Yeah. What is something you've purchased, a good or service, that's $100 or less that has completely changed your life?
Ooh,
your greatest purchase.
$100 or less changed my life.
It can't be a fleshlight.
I was going to say condoms. Definitely save your life. Oh, God, that's tough. Maybe my weighted blanket.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I think it was that's more like $70 or $80. But yeah, weighted blanket.
Is that like for anxiety and stuff like that?
Yeah. But even if you're not having anxiety, it just feels nice. It just feels like you're being cuddled.
It feels like somebody's holding you, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's really
and you
nice.
Get different weighted ones for like how much you weigh and everything. It's, and I got the one that's like for people like 250 pounds. It's so fucking nice.
You're suffocating.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. It's so comfy. Yeah that's what changed my life. I sleep better. It calms me down. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. That's a great answer.
Are you guys okay? Is everyone? Because it sounds very lonely.
I'll be okay.
A gift to buy.
No,
everyone's good?
I'm thriving, all right. Honestly.
You're right?
My pillows are my bae.
Okay. Cool. And then.
Oh, tell us the worst advice a comedian has ever given you.
Oh, sorry. I stepped on your line. Go again.
Tell us the worst advice a comedian has ever given you.
The worst advice someone has ever given you. A comedian has ever given me.
Mm-hmm. Or not. It can be life advice.
No, okay. I'll do comedian. It's tough because they all mean well. At the end of the day, like, especially when you're young and you're starting out in comedy, everyone wants to give you advice. Everyone wants, you got to do it like this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And a lot of it is really, like, structural, important things that you do have to learn. But so much of it is stuff that you can't just hear it and go, okay, I'll do that. It's things that take years sometimes to go, now I'm doing the thing they told me to always do. But bad advice... I hope this isn't a beat around the answer, but I would say at the end of the day, you have to trust you. I know that's not answering the question directly, but like you can't take everybody's advice. Even if it's such a balance between being like, okay, you do have to get an outside person's perspective on something you might be doing wrong, because you can't see how it comes across sometimes. At the end of the day, you have to do what feels right to you. I can't tell you how many times I ask somebody for advice on something, and they'll go, ah, I don't like that. Well, I'll go, fuck, what do you know? I still like my idea better. So, I mean, just don't listen to anybody. Don't listen to everybody.
Yeah.
I know that's kind of, that's not really directly answering the question, but bad advice would be listening to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to echo what you're saying, I feel like that mentality is probably what led you to self-produce your special.
Yes. It took literally last year I had an epiphany of a moment when I was talking to my friend Eric Griffin, who's a very funny comic. Mm-hmm. I was asking his advice on something that he didn't quite comprehend, but I believed in it so much. And he was like, why are you asking me? It was, if you believe something work, you have to show people why it will work. Other people obviously don't think that's a thing that's going to work, or they would have done it already. So if you think it's going to work and you believe in your idea, you do the shit. And it made me reflect on my entire career, like the DMing with D.L. Hughley to ask for a guest spot at 15. That's an insane person thing to do.
Yes.
Formally, that's not professional to do. But I did it. I didn't. If I would have asked another comedian, should I DM a huge, one of the kings of comedy and ask to do a guest spot on his show? They'd be like, that's not how you go about it. But if you trust yourself.
You want to start with the open mics and then work your way up.
Exactly. You've been doing comedy 6 months. You're going to open for DL Hughley.
That's what we call a hater.
100%. But formally, that would be the correct route to take. Yeah. But that, again, that's listening to other people. So
right. You
have to trust your own instinct. You're going to be wrong sometimes, and you need to be wrong sometimes.
That's what winners do.
But yeah, you have to bet on yourself.
Mm-hmm. So what came from the YouTube special? Like
tour dates. A lot more people come to my shows. I wanted to do something. I realized I had no full content out there of my stand-up. Everything people had known me for was like Wild and Out or something on TV.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But at my heart and my core, I'm a comedian. That is my entire life. And I was like, man, why can't I build more of a stand-up audience? And I realized I wasn't putting out anything.
Well, I'd say.
Digitally, yes.
I first met you, I don't know if you remember this, but it was during the pandemic at the backyard thing. Where you
in the
guys,
truck?
The truck.
Wait, you came to that?
Yeah.
It was in the back of my fucking... This is the back of my apartment complex.
Oh, wow.
We were the first show in Los Angeles to do comedy once the pandemic happened.
And it was cool. It was a cool vibe. It was real cool. Like, they had benches, and it was really organized and, like, separated. But it was just literally a pickup truck was the stage. Mm-hmm. And they had the spotlight and, like, the
band,
the step and repeat. And I feel like that's just who you are. It's
you got to keep betting on yourself.
You get it done. You do the shit.
Again, if you would have asked somebody else, hey, should I pay each one of my apartment neighbors $100 to let us do this thing in the back? They would be like, sure. Like, it's a stupid idea. No one's going to do it. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Probably wouldn't have tried it, but just did it anyways.
Yeah.
But I realized I wasn't putting stuff out. So I was like, I have all this material. Nobody wants to give me a special. Nobody wants to put me on their platforms. And I'm tired of doing these jokes. I want to move on to the next chapter of my career. And I don't want to waste good material that I like and that I'm proud of. So decided to put it out. It gave people who have never had direct access to me show, give them something to watch and become a fan of. I was like, why don't I have more fans? I was like, what are you doing to make somebody a fan of you? And that was kind of like my realization moment to start putting out more stuff.
That's life advice, too. I feel like that's anything. That's comedy related, but I feel like just in general, if you're a creator at the house, just you got to put out your work. You got to give people a chance to love you.
If you feel like if you feel like you're supposed to be somewhere or you should be getting a certain opportunity, you have to ask yourself, what are you actually doing to get there? Sheesh. What are you actually doing? You can want it. You can put in a little bit of work from time to time, of course, but like, are you doing everything you could? Probably not.
Yeah. I told Matt the only reason he's not famous is because he's a white guy. Like, it's not a good time for normal white guys. He's a heterosexual. Well,
sorry, Matt. The cards are really stacked against you really on this one, bud.
I picked the worst time in history. we had such a good run.
What'd you say? He said, I'm a new white. I just got here. Like,
wow, y'all remember this? That's adorable. Thank you.
He did. I died.
Thank you.
But yes, you're definitely just like an all-American looking heterosexual white guy. You know, you got to
I'm sorry.
Something to you.
I know.
Look, maybe you start applying to those OnlyFans things. You know, get that little check next to your name, and then
we gonna go somewhere.
Then you blow up.
There you go.
That's the sacrifice I gotta make. Are you really doing everything you could be doing to be where you want to be?
We think
I'm not. I'm not busting on my chest on the internet yet. I'm being lazy, and
truthfully,
I'm sorry.
Step it up. Step it up. Okay. last two questions. What? If you, this is the social one, and then we're going to do the Chocolate Sundays one. It's your birthday.
Okay.
You invite your friends to celebrate your birthday. Are they supposed to pay for you, or do you pay for your friends to come and celebrate your birthday?
I have always paid for my friends to come celebrate my birthday.
See, this is a whole new thing.
You're a great friend.
I know.
You're a good friend.
And I'm not happy about it. I wish my friends would be like, nah, I'm going to take it.
They make you pay on your birthday?
It's not a make me pay. It's I, for the most part of my career in life and friendship, have been...
The most successful friend.
The most successful friend in a lot of regards. So it's, I've always been in a better financial situation. So say one year I wanted to go do Big Bear Mountains up the lake. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get a big cabin out there and invite all my friends. We all stay in this cabin and we, you know, party favors, drinking, and rent a boat on the lake and everything like that. I wanted to do that, but I knew my friends weren't in a situation to really pitch in and split this all the way. So I was like, I'm going to front it. Whatever y'all want to throw me, if you all want to throw me $100 each or something like that, I would appreciate it. Or they would buy the drinks or something like that. Mm-hmm. If it's my birthday and we're just at a bar or a club, whatever, they'll buy my drinks and stuff like that. But if it's like an event that I know it's something I want to do,
that makes sense.
I'm not going to force them to pay for it or ask them to do it. I'm inviting them. I want to do it so we can all have fun. I'm putting us in a position to have fun.
You're a good friend. Because I want my friends to go into credit card debt for me on my birthday. That's
childish.
You're not a good friend if you don't. Like,
Matt,
honestly,
you're like a 45-year-old man.
No, I'm like, you're not 26.
I know.
Like, you really allude way
so
older
mature?
Than that.
Wise beyond your
years. Did you have a rough childhood?
I should really get back to being a fuckboy. I know. Wasting a lot of good years.
You got four more years of fuckboy in you. You know what I'm saying?
The 20s is it.
The 20s are it?
That's it.
But 30s, I might have money. That's a different level of fuckboy.
It's a real playground then.
That's right. Fly
I
you
wouldn't
out
revert
years.
Back. I mean, the bitches do love that. That's a whole different set of women.
I would never fly a girl out. I would never fly
Why not?
A girl out, ever.
They love that.
Dude, I know they do. But like, I would never spend money to fly. If I can't get laid in a city that I'm in.
That is a valid point.
I have no game.
That's true. Because sometimes the bitches don't even look at you until you say, I'm going to put you on a plane. And all of a sudden, you look real nice.
Yeah, well, have fun in that Southwest middle seat because that I'm using this voucher for. I've flown, like, a girl I was dating out to, like my active girlfriend to, like, shows in, like, fun cities or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, never, like, a girl that I just wanted to smash. I would never do that. If a girl in New Jersey was like, if you fly me out, I'll fuck you. I'm like, why would you fuck me when I get to New Jersey at some point?
I see.
I'm not, like, desperate. Sad.
It's sad.
I don't care how many miles you have.
Okay. Any more questions before we wrap?
No.
Matt, before we ask the last question, thank you for coming on, man.
Yes.
This is just an amazing conversation.
Mm-hmm. I love
it. Really was.
Yeah.
Anything you want to share with us?
I'll let you take
Are you asking, like, for confessions or to plug something?
Sound like that.
Is there any drama that you'd like exposed? No. No beefs that you got in the streets?
No, I don't have any beef with
them. No baby mamas?
God, I hope not.
Okay.
We're finna find out. Do you have any comedy beefs?
None? No, I don't have beef with
That's
anybody.
Another question we should ask.
That is, yeah.
No, I don't have a problem with fucking anybody. I know there's a lot of people who don't like me, but it's people who I've probably never met.
Who do you think doesn't like you, man?
I don't know.
No, you're messy. I'm like, why are you so messy?
No,
the girls during his fuckboy years, first of all.
No, comedians-wise, I remember this was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I remember I got a call from my agent who was like, hey, man, you have to be like more personable or something like that. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, I just got off the phone with a client of mine. He says, every time you're around a comedy club, you're always like standoffish and have like a kind of like an asshole energy, like you're better than everybody. And I was like, What am I doing? Like, I'm nice to everybody. I say hello, even people I don't fucking know. I'm like, good to see you. How you been? I'm not rude to anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's anybody. Everybody's gonna have people.
Welcome
who don't like
to
you.
My world.
People
that's
don't
what
like
they say
you
about me here. People, you got a good resting like bitch face. Mm-hmm.
You do have good best resting bitch face.
I was talking about yours, but
oh, me?
Yeah, I'm saying you probably do too. But
I don't think so.
Okay, ready? On three, resting bitch face. On three, 1, 2, 3.
That's not it.
No,
I feel like that face says, like, I'm tired of talking to you, but I'll keep listening.
Mm. And truthfully, I wouldn't talk to you either because it's like, no, you're going to buy my
there
head
it is
off.
Right there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Totally.
See, yeah, I couldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't talk to you.
You want to take the last question, Lonnie?
I don't know what it is.
What
is
chocolate sundaes mean
oh,
to you?
Oh, yeah. Tell us how you feel about chocolate sundaes. What does it mean to you?
I think it takes how up is it a different perfectly good shows? Sunday evening. I'm kidding. What does it mean to me?
How is it different than other places, other shows?
I'm trying not to give like a generic like race answer because that's the obvious answer. No, I mean it is. I mean this is like the known urban show in Los Angeles. It has been for fucking decades.
I take high offense to being classified as urban.
What would you like it to be called?
I would like to be just called African American Black. You know,
African American.
You're African American.
You don't want to be called.
Well, I feel like African American is a certain, you know, economic status. You know,
there's, it's proper.
Interesting.
There's
no, everyone. Oh my.
Like the Cosbys.
My best friend is terrible. Black.
We're African American.
Were they
on the show?
All of them
on the show.
Terrible
all
reference.
Of them on the show. On the television show.
No, but I hear everyone saying stop saying African American. It's just black.
There's so many versions of what black is.
Yeah, we'll talk about it at our meeting this week, and I'll let y'all know when we come to.
Yeah, let me know
what
you want to call
us. We're going to circle back.
Just text me, just so I know what to call myself to my other
black/African-American
colleagues.
Well, we need to know.
This being the premier urban African-American black show in Hollywood, it's been this way for decades. Like, the fact everybody and their mother has had a show in this town that's like my weekly or monthly show. You know what I mean? It usually starts off monthly. And then maybe if you're killing it for the first 6 months, they'll move it to bi-weekly. So to have a show go for so many years, weekly, two shows on a Sunday when people have to work the next day, and for it to be thriving for as long as it says, it speaks so much for itself. Like, this is one of the best shows. This is one of the most fun shows anybody could have in the entire country. The crowds are fucking amazing. The people who run it are pretty okay.
Are they pretty or are pretty okay?
Hi, you guys can follow me at...
Perfect answer.
No, the
perfect answer.
The prestige of the show, it speaks for itself. This it's shown me nothing but love. I've never had anything but a good time here, and I've seen so many people not have a good time here, and it's hilarious. Because every comedian knows, like, this is the fun show. If you're a good comedian, you come to the show and you fucking have a great time. A lot of our shows work. You know what I mean? And the show is just, if you're funny, the energy is amazing. Like, the hosts, no matter who they are, amazing. The DJ is always on point. The crowds are always great. It's just fun.
Yeah.
That's what it means to me.
Thank you, Matt. Great answer.
And I'm happy to add diversity.
Hey, we're happy to have you.
We are happy
that's
to
the
have
only,
you.
That's the only reason I book you, actually.
I'm totally okay with that.
You canceled.
I am so fine with that. Yeah, tell Insecure the same thing. I'm so about, or The Shy, any of them.
Awesome. What do you have coming up? And then that's going to be to this camera here. Just
when do you think this will come out?
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm gearing up for a really big tour through October, November. We're doing Denver, New Jersey, Atlanta, Nashville, Birmingham, New York, Chicago for New Year's, actually. Mm. So this is just off the top of my head. And a lot of them are, like, selling out already. Yay. So if you want to come see me, come Congrats. Get the tickets. Just at MattReifOfficial.com has links to all the cities. Would love to see y'all there. Come see what it's about, I guess.
Who are you performing with?
Just me.
You don't have an opener feature?
Every now and then, if I can have a friend come out with me, I do. Which I love that finally too, because I have some friends who are, like, you know, more on the come up side, but they're just happy for the stage time. So like, usually they'll cover their airfare ticket. They'll make just enough money to cover the airfare, but like, we share a room. We just write, laugh, have a good time, man.
That's so, I mean, cool. Yeah,
it's
here.
It's always just friends of mine.
Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Matt. Have you.
Literally anytime. I love the Red Table Talk. This is great.
Yes, literally. It's black, but it's fine.
It's African American.
Yeah. Yeah.
I beat you to it. Wow. I beat you to it.
Right. We let everybody know once again where they can find you on all social media platforms.
All my social media is just at Matt Reif, MattReife, except for TikTok is Matt_Reif. And, yeah, listen, check out my hour comedy special on YouTube called Matt Reif OnlyFans. I think you'll like it.
Hilarious.
It's so good. Thank you. Thank Lonnie, you. Where can they find you?
At chocolatesundays.com.
Lonnie is the definition of, like, private, but not
I
secret.
Know. Write a book. I don't. I need to understand.
Oh, I am.
Low key Lonnie.
I'm working on it.
Low key Lonnie in the building.
Low key Lonnie.
I awesome. Like, that has a great ring to it.
Yeah,
it
low is. Key Lonnie.
I like it.
You can find me on Instagram. Rich made that one. The number one.
And I am at It's Kamari Love. This was your Sunday Scoop. Thank you. Catch us next time.
Later. Bye-bye.